Now, as we've heard, Media Minister Catherine Martin is not going to seek the leadership of the Green Party. She's going to resign as deputy leader. And of course, this is in the wake of Eamon Ryan stepping down as Green Party leader himself yesterday. And for more on what all of this means, I am joined now by former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Good morning to you and thank you for speaking to us. Were you surprised by Eamon Ryan's announcement yesterday?
Well, first of all, at the outset, I really would like to pay tribute to Minister Ryan, somebody who's a colleague of mine in government for 4 years, and we've been the Oireachtas together as well. And he's somebody who I think really was in politics and is in politics for the right reasons. And I, for one, I'm glad that the Greens were in government with us and are in government with us for this period. And many of the things that have been done, like the climate change legislation, like the nature law, like pivoting towards public transport, like really upping our game in terms of climate action around retrofitting, local link, so on. A lot of that mightn't have happened or certainly wouldn't have happened as quickly without Eamon. So I think when people look back at the difference that he made in politics, it'll be more and more as the years go by. To answer your question, though, not fully shocked, because I know when I told him that I was stepping down, his initial response was, you know, one of kind of fair play to you. And you always said that politics wasn't for life for you, and change and renewal within parties can be a good thing. So when I got that reaction from him back in March or April or whenever it was, I kind of got the inkling that maybe he himself was thinking about his own exit strategy.
Okay. It does seem slightly ironic that the week that the Nature Restoration Law has been passed, which has had a fairly torturous journey through the European Parliament, that is the week he stands down, because he was one of its greatest advocates.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. You know, sometimes when people are in politics or any line of work, they want to go out on a high, having achieved something significant. And Eamon did play a significant role in getting that qualified massive majority of European countries behind the nature law to get it through. So, you know, there's an argument to say that it's good to go out a day or two having achieved something very significant, and something that will matter more in 10 or 20 or 30 years time than it does today, because we need to restore nature. We're facing a biodiversity loss crisis. It really hit me when I saw one of those documentaries that Dave Attenborough did, and he pointed out that 97% of all animal life by weight is now us and the things we eat. We've left about 3% for wildlife. So that just gives you an idea of how serious things are and how it's in our own interest that get turned around. But in politics as well, sometimes you can always hang around waiting for the next thing. You know, there's always projects on the go. There's always something else big happening in 6 weeks' time or 4 weeks' time. So you have to call time at a certain point. And I don't know this, but I imagine in Eamon's mind, he probably planned to do so after the local and European elections, but was keen to get this one over the line too.
Interesting you say that, you know, you might like to go out on a high having achieved something the time of your own departure, not long after you had met Joe Biden in Washington. Some people did actually say, was that significant? Was that the point that you wanted to go at that high, or did you have another high in mind that you wanted to get to before you left?
Oh, well look, that's the difficulty, I think, in politics and life and business and so many other areas. You can hang on forever waiting for the next high or the next big thing, and then you end up staying around so long that you have to be removed. So I'm glad I didn't stay on too long in that sense, but so many people in politics do. But like, a big thing for me wasn't particularly going to the White House. It was the fifth time I've done it. Obviously raising the issues of Palestine was important, mm-hmm. but the actual visit itself, not so much. A much more significant thing for me was to have the Northern Ireland Assembly and Executive up and running again. Okay. And of course, that happened in February. And the last official event that I did as Taoiseach was the first meeting of the North South Ministerial Council in person in a very long time. So it was those kind of things that were more important to me. Glad after 7 years, we finally got to the point where we have a settlement on Brexit and the institutions in Northern Ireland up and running. That was not the case in 2017 when I had the privilege to be elected Taoiseach the first time.
Okay. Can I ask you, the online abuse that both of you have suffered, I think it's fair to say that both of you have quite pointed and targeted abuse hurled at you on a daily basis, and anyone with half a wit looking at the online space can see that. How big a part does that play for you? I know Eamon Ryan has said that for him, there was relentless attacks, as he would see it, on his party, and that he was losing control of the narrative around what the Greens even stood for. Did you feel something similar?
I understand where he's coming from. Possibly not to the same extent. You know, I was 13 years in government, so was probably a little bit more like the frog in the boiling water. You know, it didn't happen suddenly where we went from opposition and you could do no wrong to going into government and you can't do anything right. So, you know, that and I see Sinn Féin now suddenly experience that shift as well over the past few months, even though they haven't been in government. So maybe that change happened more gradually for me, so I was less affected by it. I also got good at just shutting it out, to be honest, and ignoring it, which was probably a good thing. But I have to say, one of the things that I found, you know, so enjoyable and so heartening and helps give me faith in politics was the election campaign. And, you know, I was on the doors every second night campaigning with 10 or 15 different candidates. And I remember saying to one of the journalists who came along with us that it was a bit like reverse Twitter. You know, 29 people out of 30 were polite. Plenty of people were supporting us, plenty weren't, but a lot were. And I almost didn't believe myself, you know, that the election results might have been as good as it was. But
real life and the online space are not the same. I would fully agree with you on that. What does this mean now for government? Because two of the original heads of the parties that went into that government that was formed in 2020 at the start of the pandemic and in all of that kind of crisis mode, two of you are gone now. And the working relationship that you would have had with Eamon Ryan and obviously with Micheál Martin is now being replaced by Simon Harris in your case. And we don't know who in the case of Eamon Ryan. Does that make things more difficult because that working relationship is kind of pivotal to the good functioning of the government?
And not in itself, because, you know, the agreement that the three parties made 4.5 years ago was an agreement, or rather 4 years ago, was an agreement of three parties negotiated by lots of people, not just the party leaders, and endorsed democratically by the membership and the public reps of all three parties. And that was very important. And that's actually a change that I brought in within Fine Gael, giving councillors and members a say. It wasn't just the party leader and the parliamentary party who decided. So I think it's solid in that sense and a very detailed programme for government. But will, of course, be of significance is who becomes leader of the Green Party now and what their basis for leadership will be and what their arguments will be becoming leader.
Were you surprised Catherine Martin has taken her hat out of the ring? There was a particularly, I would say, a particularly vicious push against Eamon Ryan in the aftermath of the formation of the government by Catherine Martin supporters. Are you surprised that she isn't taking this opportunity and running with it?
I am a little bit, you know, because she came very close to becoming party leader not that long ago. I think it was only 50 or 60 votes in it. So I think there's a probability she would have got the job. But she must have decided for her own reasons not to do so. I remember from my time in office juggling being a minister who's in charge of a department, a constituency TD, and also a party leader is very difficult. You know, any one of those jobs is a full-time job. And you're trying to do three. Okay. And I can't speak for her, but maybe she took the decision that trying to be a minister, trying to get re-elected as consistency TD is enough.
Okay.
I can't speak for her, but I suppose we'll see who comes forward. Obvious person, next most senior person is Radhika Gorman. My constituency colleague, somebody who I'd have an extremely high opinion of, so perhaps he'll go forward, but I imagine there'll be other people too.
Do you think Roderick O'Gorman would be a good leader of the Green Party?
I think he would. But I think above all, that's entirely a matter for Green Party members to decide. So the less the rest will say about that, the better.
Okay. With regard to the general election date, does this influence that? The Green Party are in, a state of chassis to some extent now, and they will have to elect a leader and that leader will have to bed in. Does that push the date backwards, do you think, from their point of view, at least?
I think ultimately that's going to be the Taoiseach's call. And I don't believe that Taoiseach Simon Harris would make that call without consulting or having the broad agreement from the other two party leaders.
So therefore, the Green position will be taken into account here.
I think would have to be. I think there's a very good chance this government can be re-elected. But I think that would be lessened if it were to break up in a way that was any way acrimonious, or anyone felt that the rug had been pulled out under them. And certainly in my mind, while I had views on when the election should be, I never for a second contemplated springing a surprise on Micheál Martin, Raymond Ryan, and I highly doubt Simon Harris would do that. And of course, if you win the election, everyone says you called it the right time. If you don't win it, they say you picked the wrong time. And whether that was the case or not, nobody can ever really know. So look, that's a decision, obviously, that the Taoiseach and the party leaders are going to have to make. I've expressed my view previously that I think it's better to have elections in the summer or autumn or in the good weather when you're an incumbent than to have them in
the Bertie Ahern school of thought.
And we agree on that and many things, but it's not necessarily that simple. You know, that's something that I would have liked to have done in 2018 or 2019. I didn't do it because I felt I couldn't go to the country and dissolve it all until the House of Commons had adopted an agreement on Brexit. So, you know, it's never as simple as just when's the right time or what's the best weather. You have to take into account so many other different factors, and a very difficult decision for the party leaders to make.
Couple of things before I let you go. Just as someone who has done exactly as Eamon Ryan has done, who has spent, you know, a reasonably long career in politics and has made a very big decision, I would imagine, to step away from it and step away from your role as leader and all of that. On a day like that, how do you feel? What goes through your head? What would be going through your head, or perhaps Eamon Ryan's head, at such a moment?
Well, I think everyone's feelings and circumstances are different. I know for me, I was a little bit worried that you know, people in the party would feel that I was letting them down. What I think one or two might have done initially, they came to understand my decision and perhaps understand it and the logic and political logic behind it even more now than might have been the case at the time. So I think it's probably the same for Eamon, somebody who led his party for 13 years. Let's not forget Eamon Ryan took over leadership of the Green Party after they lost all their seats, and he lost his seat as well. Mm-hmm. They would have had no money, no organization. He built it back up to a position whereby they were able not just to join government, but also be a strong force in a government. 12 TDs is not a small number of TDs to have. And I know he'd feel a huge amount of responsibility and ownership and obligations to colleagues. But, you know, at some time, these things have to happen. And he's made these decisions for his reasons. And I think that should be respected.
And very lastly, I know you're speaking to me this morning from New York. Any qualms about how you're going to get home in the face of what looks like a work to rule starting within a couple of days by Aer Lingus pilots?
Well, it's a short trip and I'm back on Thursday. So
you dodged okay. That bullet.
But it is Aer Lingus, and I've Aer Lingus flights booked later in the summer for personal travel, not for work travel. So I really hope the strike is resolved, and you know, we have a Labour court for a reason, and they've made a recommendation.
Recommendation being 9%.
Well, 9% and more to come. But look, that's not my call to make. But certainly when I was in government, the government always took the view that if something got to the point where we had to go to the Labour court, where the arguments were heard and the Labour court made a decision, that we would adhere and respect that decision.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.